Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And tonight I just want to talk about being redeemed. We'll talk about use the same scriptures we used on Friday, but a different subject, going kind of in a little different direction, looking at what it means of being redeemed. First, we'll look at the Galatians and what God did for them. Then Paul turns to Father Abraham, and then we look at Jesus. So turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3, and we want to read the first five verses. Galatians 3, 1 through 5. Paul starts out, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? And if indeed it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" It's interesting, Paul calls them, "Oh, foolish Galatians," and he says it's almost like someone has bewitched you, that someone has put a hex on you or something. You know, a lot of people don't believe in witchcraft and those kinds of things, but from a lot of the nations where you come from, it's very real. I had a friend of mine, and he was a missionary in a part of Africa, and he said his most exciting thing to do as a missionary was to get a brand new seminary graduate to come out and intern with him and turn him loose with a demon-possessed man in the bush and see his theology change before his eyes. You know, these supernatural powers are real, and Paul said, it's almost like you've been bewitched or something has been done to you. And then Paul reminds them of their past experience with God. He said, "Look, guys, you were saved by grace. You received the Spirit of God by grace. And you experienced miracles by grace." Let me ask you, how many of you have ever experienced God's grace in your life? Amen. How many of you need more of his grace? Now, this next one's a little harder to answer. Do you give grace to others as much as you expect grace from God? You know, we want God to be so gracious to us all the time. "Oh God, let your grace be in my life." When the guy tries to cut him. Come on now, it's just living in Kuwait. Grace, grace. So let me ask you, if you were saved by grace and received the Spirit by grace and saw miracles by grace, then he said, why do you want to go back to the past? Why do you want to go back to the things under the law? See, sometimes it's good for us to look at the past from time to time. That's what Paul is doing here, is he's reminding them of their past. Not just the bad things they did, but the good things that God has done. I want to challenge you sometime. Sit down with a notebook and a pen and write down everything God has done for you from the day you were saved. It'll take you a while. Because every day since you've been saved, God's grace was there every morning when you woke up. Amen. His mercy and His grace is new every day. But see, the problem is not looking back at the past. The problem is trying to live in the past. Many times as pastors we hear, but pastor, 50 years ago when I got saved, it was like this. Why can't we go back to that? Well, hopefully you have grown in that amount of time, because God is always moving and things are changing. So it's not bad to look back from time to time to see where you've come from, to see how much you've grown. At our life group yesterday, I let slip something from my past that I normally don't let slip, and the kids all said, "I want pictures, I want pictures." Because I used to have hair longer than my wife's. You may not believe that, but my hairdresser used to say, "Man, I know a lot of ladies that would die for your hair," because it was jet black and super fine and really straight. But I've changed. Hallelujah. So has my hair. I don't have hardly any left. Won't be long, I'll look like you, Jasper. You know, every day the angels are going nuts trying to decide how many hairs I have. Came up with some interesting statistics getting ready for the life group yesterday. Do you know how many hairs are on your head? No, you can't answer. You were in the life group. They said, no, none. Yeah, you got a few there. Okay, Dell, the average redhead has 80,000 hairs on their head. The average black or brunette has 100,000. The average blonde has 120,000. And then the different shades in between go back and forth. Now, the guy that was doing the study, he said he knew there was some kind of joke he could do about the number of hairs on your head, but he couldn't come up with it. But God knows us so well that He knows the number of hairs on our head. God also knows all of the stars. He counts the stars and He names every one of them. Look back at your past sometime and try to count all of the blessings that God has given you. Praise Him for the change that's come. Amen. We're not doing the junk we used to do, I hope. Amen. If we do, His Holy Spirit is there to convict us. I wrote this down this afternoon, and I want you to think about it. Use the past to give you courage to face the present so you can embrace the future. Use your past victories to give you courage to face the present today so that you can embrace the future. That's not original with me. I've heard it many times before, but it was something today as I was doing some research that it popped out. Use the past to give you courage to face the present so you can embrace the future. Now let's look at verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, and it talks about Abraham. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that not only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Let me read 7 again. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, In you, all nations will be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with the believing Abraham. See, Abraham believed God and it was counted for righteousness. And I shared this bit on Friday. This is in Genesis chapter 15 when God gives the promise to Abraham that he will have a son in his old age. This is many years, we don't know exactly how long, but circumcision was not instituted as the symbol of the covenant between God and his people until Genesis chapter 17. And then Abraham's faith was not tested by offering up his son Isaac until Genesis chapter 22. And then the law was not given to Moses for another 430 years. Abraham was justified by faith because he believed God. That's why you and I are called the sons of Abraham, because we are saved by faith. If we were saved by the law, we would be called the sons of Moses. Oh, Eunice, this is right off the top of my head. Do you know how to play that song, The Sons of Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons. Everybody, how many of you know that as a kid? Huh? Come on, stand up. Come on, guys. Let's get our exercise. You guys know it?
No, sorry.
Okay. You sing it, I'll do the...
Actions?
Yeah.
Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons as Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So let us praise the Lord. Right hand, Father Abraham had many sons as Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So let us praise the Lord. Right hand, left hand, Father Abraham had many sons as Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So let us praise the Lord. Right hand, left hand, foot, Father Abraham had many sons as Father Abraham. One of them, and so are you. So let us praise the Lord. Right hand, left hand, right foot, left foot, Father Abraham. Many sons as Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let us praise the Lord. Right hand, left hand, right foot, left foot, turn around.
We had to stop or I can't go anymore. But we are called the sons of Abraham because Abraham was justified before circumcision, before he was tested in faith, and before the law. Thank you, Eunice, very much. Appreciate that. And the purpose of the law is to lead us not to salvation, but to lead us to Christ, who has the one that has redeemed us. That's what the law was given for, to show us that there was no way in ourselves that we could make it to heaven. And then verses 10 to 14, we want to look at Jesus and we'll finish up here. For as many as are of the works of the law, they are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but of man. who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The word redemption means by payment of a price to recover from the power of another. It also means to ransom or to buy off or to pay off a debt. It literally means to take it out of the marketplace. So Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus paid the price that I could not pay. Jesus paid a debt that I could not pay and he did not owe. And that is the price of our redemption. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7, we are redeemed through his blood. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our money cannot redeem us. Our traditions and our churchianity that we do cannot redeem us. It is the blood. Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation. So the price of our redemption is the blood of Jesus. It only takes one drop. And I've said this several times in this series, and I will say it several more times. Dale's mentioned it. Salvation is the blood plus nothing. The blood of Jesus was the price that was paid for our salvation. And for just a moment, I want to look at what Christ has done for us. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law by his death on the cross. See, he made it possible for us to receive the blessings of Abraham. The death on the cross made it possible for us to receive the Spirit of God. Let me give you a couple of just little illustrations of redemption. You may have heard this story of the little boy and his toy sailboat. This little boy and his dad spent a long time and they made a little toy sailboat. And they carved it out of wood and they sanded it and painted it and got it all fixed up and made the sails. And finally it was the day for the little boy to do the inaugural launch and to go out to the lake for the first time and see if his little sailboat would float. So it was a big day and he was all excited and he got out to the lake and he put the little sailboat in the water and it was going very good. And then a big wind came and caught the sail. And the last thing the little boy saw was his sailboat going all the way across the lake to where he couldn't see it anymore. And he was so upset that he had lost the boat that he and his dad had built. And he came home and he was all upset. And some weeks later, they were in town and they went by the used shop. And there in the window of the used shop was his little boat. And he got so excited that he ran in the shop and he told the shop owner, he said, "Sir, that's my boat." And the man says, "Well, son, I'm sorry, but some fisherman found it out on the lake and brought it in and I bought it from him. So if you want it, it's going to cost you a dollar." And the little boy didn't have any money, so he went home, talked to his parents. So, you know, they said, "Well, you can babysit your, you know, your little brother. You can do the dishes. You can mow the grass. You can do all of these things." I'm giving some ideas to your parents. And so he worked and worked and worked, and he made enough money to get his dollar together. So you don't have to pay him much. That's the moral of this story. He got his dollar together, and he went into the shop, and he put his dollar on the counter, and the man got the little boat down and gave it to him. And the little boy walked outside, and he's hugging his boat, and he says, "I love you twice. I love you because I made you, and I loved you because I redeemed you. So little boat, you are twice loved." And think about us. God created us, and we turned our back on him, and we were lost. And he sent Jesus to redeem us, to buy us back. So you are twice loved by Jesus, by God, because he created you, and then he bought you back and redeemed you. And there's a story about a pastor in Boston. Let me see what his name was. It was A.J. Garden, and I don't remember what church he pastored in Boston. But one day, he was standing in front of his church, and he was sweeping off the steps at the front of the church, and this little boy came by with an old rusty bird cage and just some scraggly little birds in it. And they were all huddled in the corner. And he asked the little boy, he says, "You know, what you got there?" And he said, "Oh, these are just some birds." He said, "I trapped them out in the woods." And the guy said, "Well, what are you going to do with them?" He said, "Oh, I'm going to play with them for a while, and then I'm going to feed them to my cat." Okay. So the pastor says, "Look, son, I'll buy them from you." And the little boy says, "No, you don't want to buy them. They don't know how to sing. I'm going to go play with them for a while and then feed them to my cat." And the pastor pulls $2 out of his pocket and he says, "Look, I'll give you $2 right now." So the little boy goes, "Man, isn't he dumb? $2 for birds that don't even sing? Yeah, I'll do that." So he takes the $2 and he runs off and he's happy. And the pastor goes around behind the church, opens a cage, and the birds fly off. And then on Sunday morning, as the illustration for his sermon, was the empty bird cage sitting on the pulpit. And he said, "You know, that little boy told me that those birds couldn't sing. But," he said, "when I opened that cage and they flew out," he said, "I almost am certain I heard them say, 'Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed.'" And he says, think about our lives. The Bible says we were slaves and we were captives to sin. And then Jesus bought us and set us free. So every believer should be singing, "Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed." So I want you to think tonight, what is your song? Is it caged, caged, or cursed, cursed? Or is it redeemed, redeemed, redeemed? And every time you start feeling sorry for yourself, or you start feeling like you're not worthy, or you don't measure up, or you're not good enough, remember that Jesus twice loves you, because he created you and he redeemed you. How much are you worth? You're worth the blood of Jesus. And it only takes one drop to wash away all of our sin. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus will cleanse us whiter than snow. I mean, when we were in Africa, they didn't know what snow was. But we had washing powder, Omo, that you even have here. And the little jingle on the commercial is, nothing washes whiter than Omo. So we would say, the blood of Jesus washes your sins whiter than Omo could ever wash them. And I thought of that today because I went with Dell and we bought some Omo. You are important to God. I believe with all my heart, if I had been the only person alive on earth, God would have sent Jesus just for me. Amen. So don't look down on yourselves. Don't think you're a second-class citizen. No, you are a citizen of heaven. You are a child of the King. You are royalty. Amen. Hallelujah. We are worth the blood of Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father, we just come to you and we thank you for this time. And Father, we just ask that you would be with every one of us tonight. Father, I know this was just a short message, but Father, one, we need to hear that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. And Father, how easy it is for us from time to time to fall back into the works mentality. We condemn ourselves because we get behind in our Bible reading, or we feel like we've let you down because we don't pray like we think we should. But Father, you are more concerned with a relationship with you than us going through all of the motions of what we have been taught it means to be a Christian. Father, you desire for us to meet one with another so that we can worship you as a family. You desire for us to read your word so that we can hear from you. You desire for us to spend time with you in prayer. But Father, those things, help us to understand that those are not the things that cause us to be blessed. Those are not the things that get us into heaven. But Father, it's belief like Abraham in the work of Calvary. And we do these other things because we are your sons and your daughters and because we love you. And we want to please you and we want to honor you and magnify your name. And Father, I lift up every man and woman and boy and girl in this place tonight. And Father, I ask that you would help us to understand that we have value in your eyes, that we are worth the blood of your Son that you sacrificed on the cross. We are worth the life of Christ that was given as a ransom for my soul. And Father, we thank you that we are redeemed tonight. We are the redeemed. And Father, we say thank you for the blood that was shed, for his body that was beaten, for his life that was laid down, so that we could be in this place tonight, in Mabula, in the middle of Kuwait, worshiping the everlasting Father. And we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.